out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 4th of October 2019, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Yes, it's Friday. We've reached the end of another week. The weekend is almost here, and I know our listeners are just dying to hear from my co-host today, Grandpa Lampshade. Grandpa, good morning to you. Good afternoon to you. How are you doing, sir?
We're doing all right. It's Friday, Clown World in Review. I mean, everybody looks forward to it. What sort of clownishness can we talk about this week? Well, in Clown World, we're never short on material. I mean, it's usually more of a case of, you know, too many to pick from, too much clownishness to choose from.
And we do have some particular types of people, you know, they just have such high comedic value, particularly Negroes. We've got a story today about a young Negro, but just before that, I don't know if you've actually heard of this one, Grandpa, but over there in Africa, they came out with an idea for a new product, and they set up a factory, and guess what the factory was producing? Babies. Black babies, as if they didn't already have enough black babies, and as if that wasn't the only thing that they've ever been able to actually produce is black babies, but they got this novel idea of producing a factory to make them. Never mind the fact that they just produce them all the time anyway.
That would be like farming ragweed. You know, it's like, yeah. So what are you planting this year, Jim? Well, we're farming ragweed this year because...
Ragweed and dotweeds.
We just don't have enough ragweed. Yeah.
Incredibly inventive people, these Negroes, and very inventive with the sort of stories they come out with as well, as we'll discover with this particular story about this this black young Negress, 12-year-old Negress, the black high school student who accused three white male classmates of pinning her down and cutting off her dreadlocks, has acknowledged that she made the allegation up, according to her school. Amari Allen, 12, claimed she was held down by three boys who cut her hair off at their $12,000 a year school. She also gave a tearful interview about it afterwards and said they called her hair ugly and nappy, a racist term that is used to derogatorily describe African-American women's hair. And I'm just going to stop there, Grandpa, because... This term, nappy, over here in Britain, it means diaper. It means a baby's diaper. And I don't quite understand how that has come to be used to describe an afro. Perhaps you could enlighten me on that, since it's an American word there.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's so much they're missing. There's so much left out of this story. For starters, I mean, saying when blacks talk about, you know, oh, he nappy headed. I mean, this isn't a racist term. As far as I know, the first time I ever heard this term used was by blacks talking about other blacks. Man, that nigga nappy head, that nappy headed look, you know, or black mama, get your nappy head over here. You know, it's just a way to describe like when their hair is like all jumbled up. And I looked at the pictures of the young girl in this picture, in this story, and she is indeed nappy headed. I mean, as far as the way in which blacks use the term, that's not a term that was invented by white people. As far as I know, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but the like 90, at least 88% of the time I've used that term is blacks using that term. And also that term isn't just applied to women's hair. I mean, blacks would describe it for black males' hair too. They just didn't do it. I don't think any of these news outfits have an editorial board anymore. For instance, at 12 years old, there's no way she's a high schooler. I don't know if the school has a different grade system set up. But at 12, she would be in junior high. That wouldn't be high school. But yet there's nowhere in the article this is explained. They come up with this is a racist term when this is a term that blacks use. Whites very seldom use that term nappy headed. That's a term I've always heard blacks use. And so it's just, once again, really sloppy journalism. They don't bother to do any sort of research or look into this. So, yeah, no, it's just a term for when their hair is like all matted together. They don't like take care of their hair. You know, I mean, they don't have like a weave. If you seen a black girl and she had a weave, you wouldn't say she's nappy headed. I mean, or even like an afro wouldn't be nappy headed. Nappy headed is like when their hair is just like they don't take care of it. They don't use a pick on it, nothing. It's just all like matted together. Like when you look at sheep, you know, you have a nice sheep that you got a nice sheep that, and it's like, oh, you just want to run your hand through their wool. But then you see this other sheep and it comes out of the weeds and it's got like burrs in it and it's all mangled together and there's weeds and stuff. It's all, you don't want to run your hands through that because that sheep is nappy. So it's, if you picture it kind of like that, you get a good picture of what the term means.
Well, maybe it comes from the word matted. You know, I've heard Negroes say natty dread, and maybe that comes from this term nappy as well. Maybe it's just a black way of saying matted. But yeah, it doesn't really seem like the sort of language that white people would use. And apparently, they also shared photos of her uneven hair after the alleged incident. Now, I've looked at the before and after picture, and I really can't tell that much of a difference. I mean, this girl's got dreadlocks, basically, which is where they don't wash their hair, they don't brush their hair, and they just sort of rub it together between their fingers and so that the natural grease, or so they say it's natural grease, but it's basically just dirt that holds it together so that it looks like ropes. And in the after picture, it actually looks slightly better than the before picture. The dreadlocks look a little bit thinner. They certainly don't look like any of them have been cut off. I mean, it looks to me like she's got a nest of snakes sprouting out from her head. But I really couldn't see any difference between the two pictures. Could you, Grandpa?
Well, she's nappy headed. That is nappy headed in the picture. I mean, it winds up being a complete hoax, but the nappy headed part is true. And again, it should have been like a real clue that this was a hoax, by the way, to begin with, that her story, these two white boys held her down and called her nappy headed. The fact that term was used should have been like the first red flag that this was made up. Because again, it's just not something you would really, you know, picture like a couple of white guys saying. But no, yeah, looking at the pictures, I mean, she is literally that, what you described with the hair all mashed together and just, you know, kind of dirty and unkempt looking. I mean, that is literally when blacks use the term nappy headed, that's what they're talking about.
She wants to work a little bit harder on her fibbing, doesn't she? She's not quite an expert at it as the older Negroes are. Well, on Monday, however, the child's family issued a statement saying that the allegation was false and that they wanted to apologise to the boys. Why the claims were fabricated, though, remains unclear. Well, it doesn't seem very unclear to me why a Negro would fabricate claims of a hate crime, because it draws attention to them, it gets sympathy for them, it gets whoever the target is of the allegation into trouble. It gets the person that made these allegations on national news. I mean, this pretty much made international news. The report that we're actually using for this comes from the Daily Mail, which is a British company. So this made international news. She was on the television being interviewed. She was made out to be a great hero, very, very courageous in putting up with this nasty racism at her school. And I dare say that the boys that she made the accusation against, I dare say that they got a lot of death threats and probably had to move house. So the motive for fabricating these lies, I think, is very clear. And why hasn't this news organization suggested what the motive may be, I wonder?
Well, and another important thing to remember here is that so often in these cases, these organizations, for instance, like the school we're talking about here, they roll over on their backs almost instantly, and they pay these people, they pay these families a lot of money. They'll sit there and pay them damages. I mean, when you see these outrage, you know, when a black criminal gets shot by the police or something, you know, I mean, within months, the cities are paying out millions of dollars. So, I mean, there's always the money factor there as well. That's an important thing to remember. You look at this, I mean, the school, I no doubt, as soon as this story dropped before the hoax part came out, I guarantee you the school's lawyers were probably already drafting up a settlement to give them, you know, $2 million or something for the trauma of being called nappy headed. But so I think that factors in as well, which then leads to the question, did she come up with this on her own, or was this something her family came up with? It's a legitimate question to ask. Did she come up with this on her own, or did her family? And the fact that they came out and admitted it's a hoax, I think, is it, more than likely the way I imagine that playing out is the cops looked into this, because, yes, we'll get to that in a minute. The police were involved in this, you know, incident, and the police quickly discovered that, you know, it was fake. I mean, I don't know how. They might have been surveillance cam. Who knows? But they discovered it was fake, and they probably went to the family and like, look, we know y'all made this shit up. Y'all going to have to, you know. So then they come out with this quote unquote humble apology to the people that they were attempting to throw into the meat grinder. And just on another side note, one of the things I love about these stories, I really do. One of the things I love about stories like this is because I get to hear you say Negro with your accent. I can't get enough of it. I'm just like totally addicted to hearing a British accent say Negroes. I can't. There's a certain magic there, Sven.
Well, it's a biologically correct term. It's a scientific term to use to refer to them. You know, I don't like to use racial slurs. They are Negroes. That's exactly what they are. Well, the Negro family asked for forgiveness in their statement and said they had betrayed the wider community. To those young boys and their parents, we sincerely apologize for the pain and anxiety these allegations have caused. To the administrators and families of Emmanuel Christian School, we are sorry for the damage this incident has done to trust within the school family and the undue scorn it has brought to the school. To the broader community who rallied in such passionate support for our daughter, we apologize for betraying your trust. We understand there will be consequences, and we're prepared to take responsibility for them. We know that it will take time to heal, and we hope and pray that the boys, their families, the school, and the broader community will be able to forgive us in time, they said in the statement to dailymail.com. Well, you know, I think, you know, it may not be the family that are responsible for this. It may just be this girl. And the question then is, well, where did she learn the idea that she could make a hoax like this and everybody would believe it? And I would suggest, you know, she may have done this many times before. It's just that she's overstepped the mark this time by making such an egregious accusation against the white kids, and that she has been found out, as you say, once the police started investigating it. But the fact she was prepared to make such a huge lie, that tends to imply to me that she's probably got by her whole life knowing that all she has to do is accuse somebody she doesn't like of racism, and they're going to be punished for it, and she's going to be made out to be a hero, and she's going to get all the sympathy and attention that she craves. And this apology, I mean, that's not really enough, is it? You know, she prays that the boys and their families will be able to forgive them. Well, those boys, as I say, they probably had to move out of their home. I mean, you had race hustler organizations involved in this. You had the NAACP and the ADL. This was on international news. We only have to look back to a while back when there was that Red Indian that was banging his drum in front of that young white lad, and all the death threats that young white lad got, and all the hoo-ha that was made in the mainstream media about it, to get an idea of what these young white boys have had to go through. I mean, they should be suing this family. It's not up to them to just say, oh, well, we apologize for it and that's it. We hope that that's going to be it. Because there are so many of these incidences that happen and nobody ever gets punished for it. Nobody ever gets punished for it. Just look at Jussie Smollett and his accusations. And these are smears against white people, actions that white people just really wouldn't be likely to do. I mean, there was an interview yesterday on the BBC and they had this woman called Jamalia Jalil or something like that. And she was claiming that at 7 years old, a load of white boys beat her up with tennis rackets. So they gave her a good beating with tennis rackets whilst yelling racial slurs that knocked all her teeth out. And, you know, that is just not something that 7 year old white boys would do. I would bet that the 7 year old white boys were bending over backwards to be friendly to her and to include her, because that's how they would have been taught. And that's the way that she responds. I mean, this woman was even blaming racism for the fact that she had congenital hearing loss. Yeah, you know, she got asked about that. And of course, that's due to her being inbred, obviously. That's where you get congenital disease from. But she was even blaming that on racism, even after, you know, accepting that it was a congenital problem. I mean, these non-whites, they, from a very early age, they realize that the benefits that can accrue to them if they make false accusations against white people, and it needs to stop.
Well, never mind the fact that anybody with logical sense knows a 7 year old isn't going to have the strength, you know, to knock all of your teeth out. I mean, it's just, that's why like little kids can get into schoolyard fights. You know, 7 year olds can get into a schoolyard brawl and just pummel each other with all their strength. And at the end, they're kind of bruised up and, you know, scratched up. But at the end, they're over it in a week. Whereas if like two grown men get into a fight, I mean, you can kill somebody. I mean, it's not the same. So the idea that a 7 year old got all their, you know, got all their teeth knocked out by a couple other 7 year olds is just ludicrous on its face. But going back to our story here and the statement that you read, that this whole lengthy to the young boys. And does anybody believe that they actually wrote this? I mean, you look at this family of blacks and we're supposed to believe that they wrote to those young boys and their parents. We sincerely apologize for the pain and anxiety that these allegations have caused. To the administrators and families of Emmanuel Christian School, we're sorry for the damage that this incident has done to trust within the school family and the undue scorn it has brought to. Nobody believes they wrote this shit. Nobody. Absolutely. Nobody can look at this. If it just said the family sent a statement and said, shit. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you, okay, you know. But I mean, there's no way. There's no way they wrote it. Either one of these organizations wrote this for them. Their lawyer wrote this for them. They're obviously not poor. The tuition at the school is $12,000 a year. I couldn't pay it. The vast majority of people can. So this family either is in there on some kind of affirmative action thing, or, I mean, they've got money. Maybe your dad's a doctor. So I don't know. But the notion that they wrote this statement is ludicrous on its face. And I think, it's a legitimate question to ask. Well, if they didn't write this statement, then who did? And what are they doing in the middle of it?
Well, also, you know, a question that comes to mind is why wasn't this girl challenged when she said that? Why wasn't she challenged? You know, is that really the truth that that's what these lads called you and they cut your hair? And it was the same with this interview about these that I saw the other night, with this allegation that these young white lads gave this brown girl a beating with tennis rackets. The person that was interviewing didn't question it, didn't question and say, well, you know, is that really likely? Are you sure that's exactly what happened? Nobody challenges these people because they have black privilege. If you challenge them, then you're going to be accused of being racist. Well, the school has issued its own statement. They say, we can now confirm that the student who accused three of her classmates of assault has acknowledged that the allegations were false. Well, it was a little bit more than assault, wasn't it? They've been accused of a hate crime there, not just assault. We're grateful to the Fairfax County Police Department for their diligent work to investigate these allegations. While we are relieved to hear the truth and bring the events of the past few days to a close, we also feel tremendous pain for the victims and the hurt on both sides of this conflict. Will they be talking about both sides of the conflict? If it had, you know, if it had been a white person that said that they'd been beaten up by a Negro, I don't think they would be having any compassion for the white person if it was found out that they'd been lying. We recognize that we now enter what will be a long season of healing, the school said. They would not answer any additional questions because the girl is a minor and the police department will not say any more. So there's obviously something else there. I think maybe they're implying that there is something else there, and it's just not being talked about. Maybe that is something to do with the motive. Maybe that is something to do with the financial gain. Maybe that is something to do with the solicitors. What do you think, Grandpa?
Well, I think it's, you bring up a very valid point. Why would they not question it? I mean, even if this was true, back in the day, because, you know, those of us have a little age on us, we remember, I mean, shit happened in the schoolyard. You're talking 12-year-olds. Back in the day, this would have just been like, if it was real, forget the made up part. If it really happened, you know, the girl would report it to the teachers. The principal would call these boys in. You'd probably get licks. You know, they bring the coaches in because that's how it worked when I was in school. They bring the coaches were like the designated guys to come in and beat your ass. And they would have like these medieval paddle things and they would put like grip tape where like it wouldn't slip out of their hands. And they sometimes they would like the wooden part where you're going to get your ass hit. They would drill holes in it. I mean, they would have put tacks in that if they could get away with it. And they would bring it and just beat your ass with this paddle. And that would have been the end of it, you know, and they probably made you go in and apologize to the girl. And that would have been the end of it. And everybody would have walked away and learned a lesson. Even that's assuming if it would have been true. But now you've got the police involved. This girl makes these allegations and they put a 12-year-old on TV. And as you say, they never question. I mean, you would think the news people, before they put a 12-year-old on TV, would sit down and like talk to her a little bit and be like, you know, do we really want to put this 12-year-old on TV with this story that sounds a little out there without maybe like prodding her a little bit and making sure before we make this leap to stick a 12-year-old on TV with this horrendous allegation against her classmates that if it was true, would have amounted to nothing but a schoolyard scuffle. They should have just been handled with maybe licks in the principal's office. Everybody apologizes to each other and moves on. But no, they just throw her on TV. Here's her tearful story talking about this happening. But no, you're not, because as you pointed out, you're not allowed to even question it. To even question it is racism itself. It's no different than when these women come up and say, 35 years ago, I was at a party and he touched me on the thigh and I'm scarred to this day. You're not allowed to question. No, you're not allowed to stand up and say, well, that's obviously bullshit. You know, I mean, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to do that in clown world. You have to take these things at face value. And then if you're lucky, these kids, these boys here, they got off lucky. Because in a way, they're lucky that the police did get involved, because someone actually bothered to dig into it and find out that it was a lie. They're lucky that happened, because otherwise they could have just the school that the school was fully prepared to throw them under the bus. They were probably already had the boys by the scruff of the neck. They're walking them out there. They got the boot on their back waiting for the transit bus to come rolling by so they can kick them in front of the Greyhound. But thankfully, I guess in this case, the police were involved and somebody actually dug into it and was like, wow, this story's bullshit. Well, no, really, really a shocking revelation. But nobody up to that point had the courage to say, yeah, this story sounds a little sketchy. Maybe before we put a 12-year-old girl on TV, you know, and ultimately embarrassing herself with this made up story, maybe it would be a little more compassionate to like sit her down and actually interview her first off camera and find out if maybe, just maybe, this outlandish story isn't true. But they don't do that because they want to believe it. They want to believe it. The communist media, they want to believe. They want to believe it's true. It fits the narrative so well. And of course, in cases like this, when it comes out to be total and utter nonsense, they'll just brush it aside and move on, memory hole it, pretend it's never happened until the next wild allegation comes along, and then they'll just as enthusiastically jump on board with it.
Not very responsible, is it? I guess you could say that she's got a double dose of privilege there. She's both female and she's black, so they really didn't want to question this one. Plus, as you say, the media just loves these stories. They just love attacking white people. Amari last week appeared on local news networks to tell her story. And I suspect it wasn't just local news networks either. I mean, this was a national story throughout America. She said she was about to go down a slide when the three bullies ambushed her. One of them put my hands behind my back. One of them covered my mouth. They kept laughing and calling me names, Amari told WUSA 9 as tears streamed down her face. They called me ugly and said I shouldn't have been born. They called me an attention seeker. Now, maybe there's a little bit of self-reflection there, because that's quite truthful, I would suggest. She is an attention seeker, and that has been proved by this. I mean, I find her ugly. Maybe blacks don't find other blacks ugly, but I do find blacks ugly. I do think she's ugly. And she's definitely an attention seeker. And she's also, you know, an accomplished liar. She can just bring on the waterworks like that whenever she feels like it to gain attention and to gain sympathy. I mean, this is a real case of acting here, isn't it? I mean, this girl is a very good actor. She can just have tears streaming down her face while she makes up these bold-faced lies about her white schoolmates. Amari said the boys brandished a pair of scissors and took big chunks of my hair and just cut. She said she did not tell anyone until 2 days later, after her grandmother noticed that her hair was uneven. Sometimes I think that I don't deserve to be at a Christian school and that I'm ugly, she said. She also said she felt compassion for the alleged attackers and said something could have happened that made them do this, because I know that's like the source of most bullying. And of course, that's the other thing that they always do. They always try to make themselves appear very sympathetic, very forgiving to the person that supposedly did this bullying, when nobody did this bullying. Maybe it was herself that actually cut her hair and just thought up this excuse, oh, I'll just blame these white lads for it. Do you think this is true, that this is how it happened, that her grandmother noticed that some of her hair was uncut? Because I really couldn't tell, looking at those pictures, anything that had actually happened to her hair. What do you make of this, Grandpa?
Well, I would guess that the part where they called her an attention seeker might be true. I mean, that part may be true. We may be dealing with a pattern of behavior here where she's always stirring stuff up at the school. And maybe some of her classmates basically told her, you're always stirring shit up. You know, you're an attention seeker. Well, she got mad at them. And maybe there's some of the motive here. Maybe it was to get back at them. Oh, yeah. Well, I'll really show you. I'm going to throw down the hate card. I'm going to throw down the racist card, as far as whether or not this happened because her grandmother. If it did happen, her grandmother did notice it. Her grandmother probably said, man, girl, your hair nappy. What's wrong? Look at your hair. It's a nappy mess. But I don't know. But if I just going off of my gut instinct, which quite honestly is usually correct, I would bet that perhaps the allegation being called an attention seeker, something along that lines, that part may be very well true. Maybe this is a part of just doubling down and trying to get payback.
And then she built the story around it. Well, officials at the Emmanuel Christian School told the DailyMail.com last week that they were in touch with the family and had asked police to conduct a thorough investigation. We take seriously the emotional and physical well-being of all our students and have a zero-tolerance policy for any kind of bullying or abuse, head of school Stephen Danish said in a statement. We are deeply disturbed by the allegations being made and are in communication with the family of the alleged victim to gather information and provide whatever support we can. We have also reached out to law enforcement to ask them to conduct a thorough investigation, and further inquiries should be directed to the Fairfax County Police. I bet the little liar was surprised at that and had a bit of a shock when she learned that the police were going to be investigating it. The incident also prompted outrage from the local chapter of the NAACP. That's the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, if you can believe that. I mean, I still laugh at that title. It would just be incredible if you had a National Association for the Advancement of White People. That would just be outright, it would be condemned as racist. But the blacks just get away with this, and they're still calling themselves colored people here, which apparently, you know, I think that's a hate crime in itself. Now you have to call them people of color. Well, this organization last week, it said it was closely monitoring the situation, just like Donald Trump does with his tweets. Following the family's admission on Monday, it cancelled a support rally it had planned for her. So they were already in the process of setting up a huge demonstration that probably would have turned into a riot, probably burning the bitch down like they did, like they have done so many times before, especially in Baltimore, and pretty much like a lynch mob calling for these three lads. Because of course the three lads that were alleged to have done this, it would have been known who they were. And this huge lynch mob that the NAACP will have organized would have been calling for their blood. I mean, this is a serious incident, I think, has been averted here by the fact that it's come out that this was a lie. And this is what the NAACP do. They're race baiters. They want to have a riot. They want to burn things down and call for the lynching of white people, and they'll use any excuse to do it. I mean, it's just all there in the name, what a racist organization they are. What do you think of this bit here about the NAACP getting involved, Grandpa?
Well, what I'm curious is, it says that the school was in contact with them and let them know that they were having the police order. I would like to know if the family was already demanding money. That's my first question when I read that. When it said early on the school was in support with the alleged victim's family, told them they're having the police look into it, I'm wondering if their reaction was shit, because I'm wondering if they were already in contact with them, because they were already demanding money. Because again, this is how these shakedowns so often work. They make the allegations, they assume nobody will question it, they make their demands, and these organizations immediately roll over and pay them a lot of money. Go away. Yeah, I find the NAACP to be humorous, because yeah, it's an organization that's been around since way back. I don't remember, 50s, 60s, somewhere in there. And of course, back then, the proper non-racist term was colored people. And yes, that is racist now. And just so you know, the term Negro is considered racist now as well. So you're still being racist, Sven. I'm sorry. You're using the term Negro. And that
scientific term. Scientific.
It doesn't matter. Science is racist. Science is racist as well. And this is awful big of the NAACP to, like, you know, cancel the support rally. I should hope so. I mean, what were they going to do? I wonder how big of a debate they had. Should we cancel the rally? Well, I don't know. Let's ask Mr. Shekelstein what he thinks. He's busy writing the statement of apology right now. So, yeah, the whole thing is ludicrous on their face. And what we read as far as the aftermath here, is this is where the media goes through the motions of simply memory holing it. And we all know that they'll quickly move on and jump on to the next story.
Okay, just a point there. You bring up Mr. Shekelstein, the lawyer. I do believe that the leaders of the NAACP for right up until the 70s were actually Jews. And the rank and file of the NAACP were obviously black, but all the guys at the top were Jews. Funnily enough, organizers begged followers not to come down too harshly on the young girl on Twitter. See, still all their thoughts are with this young Negro girl, nothing about the young lads that have been falsely accused. The Fairfax County NAACP, along with much of the nation, was outraged at the reported attack on Amari Allen at Emmanuel Christian School in Springfield last week. We take every allegation of racial violence seriously, and we treated this incident the same. Regrettably, in this instance, the reported assault turned out to be false, and the Allen family is working with the school to achieve a resolution. Well, there's two things there, isn't there? You know, they regret the fact that this wasn't a real hate crime, because that is their bread and butter. They exist on hate crimes, whether they are hoaxes or not. So they're very, very upset that this wasn't actually a hate crime. And there's no mention of any outrage here at the fact that there's been false allegations against white people. They just mentioned that it was outrageous that this attack was reported, and it could have happened. You know, so there's two things there that are blatantly racist against white people. And again, it just passes. You know, the truth does tend to come out in these things, you know, where they say, regrettably, in this instance, it turned out to be false. You know, why would you regret that? Wouldn't you think, well, actually, yeah, that's great. She wasn't actually attacked. You know, that's a good thing, isn't it? No, not for the NAACP, it isn't.
Yeah, and it just shows the hypocrisy. They frame this like, oh, we're so concerned for this poor girl. It's bullshit, because they say it right here. Regrettably, it wasn't real. Sorry. Maybe some black girl in the future will get bullied, and then it won't be regrettable. You know, it'll be a great thing, because we can use it. Before this came out as a hoax, were they calling on their supporters not to come down too hard on the alleged perpetrators of this incident, the boys in this case? Were they telling their supporters, hey, let's remember, we're dealing with kids here. Let's don't get riled up. And, you know, we're dealing with kids here who may have just made a mistake. No. None of that. They were whipping up their rallies. They were already getting that. They were getting their no doubt, their no justice, no peace chants already. They'd whip up the outrage. And again, the outcome of this is normally the entity involved, the organization involved, rolls over and gives them a lot of money, and they move on to the next one. It's all very telling. And yes, of course, she's still the victim. It just all shows that this is a hustle. It's all a game, and it's white people. When it comes to these sort of things, for the most part, are fair game.
Continuing with the article here, with a statement from the NAACP, we would like to thank the Fairfax County Police for their quick action in opening an investigation into the matter, and the school for being forthcoming and open throughout this process. Amari is not a public figure. She is a young girl who made a mistake, and we are asking everyone, supporters and critics alike, to please respect the family's privacy at this time. Her family has released a statement to the Washington Post apologizing to the other students she accused and her school and the community, it said. So they're basically saying, just don't do anything about this. She just made a little mistake there. Never mind that it's false witness. Never mind all the problems it could have caused for the white lads. Just let her off because she's young. The organization went on, too often in these rare instances of fabricated hate crimes, critics use a broad brush to claim racially motivated crimes are virtually non-existent. This is demonstrably wrong. Data from numerous sources, including the Anti-Defamation League, the FBI, and the Justice Department, shows bias-motivated crimes are on the rise year after year. The fact is that these type of fabrications are isolated incidents, but the public and media has a tendency to sensationalize falsifications over the thousands of real hate crimes reported every year. How can they say that these are isolated incidents? I mean, just off the top of my head, I can think of Jussie Smollett recently, the Canadian white kids with the Indian that was banging his drum in front of them, the poop swastika and fake Ku Klux Klan invasion at Missouri University, the racist slurs pointed on the door at the Air Force Academy by a black cadet, the Jews that smashed up their own restaurant in Canada that we talked about here in the Daily Nationalist, and the church in Indiana that was graffitied with swastikas and Hail Trump by its own black organist. And I could go on and on and on with more and more hate crime hoaxes. In actual fact, I can't actually think of any that are actually turned out to be true. So these are not isolated incidences. And also, as you mentioned there, Grandpa, I mean, the data that they get from their numerous sources includes the Anti-Defamation League. Well, of course, that's not going to be biased, is it? And where do the FBI and the Justice Department get their figures from? The Anti-Defamation League. What do you make of this final statement from them, Grandpa?
Well, FBI statistics are fine and dandy until you look at the FBI statistics for black on white crime. They never mention those, do they? And here's a big question. They're talking about the thousands of real hate crimes reported every year. Okay, so here's a question. If there are thousands of real hate crimes every year, how come this story of a schoolyard incident made international news? Well, why aren't these thousands of other hate crimes that happen every year, why aren't they international news? Because they're not. They're not. They're making them up. I mean, you go as soon as you see the ADL quoted, as soon as you see that, you know that you can discount any idea of there being any legitimacy. I mean, it's just you can throw that out the window. I mean, you know the background of the ADL. You know how they got started. You know what they do. You know their agenda. Anybody who's bothered to do like just a minute, like 10 minutes worth of research, knows what the ADL is about. So to throw them in there is a open admission that there's an agenda going on here. But once again, I would just point out that if there are indeed thousands and thousands of real hate crimes every year, why is it that we're not hearing about them? Why are they having to devolve down to jumping onto a 12-year-old story and without even doing any research and jumping on and using this as a bandwagon? If they've got thousands and thousands of hate crimes to choose from to make an international story, this was the cream of the crop. This was the one that they decided to use the media and make a big deal out of. I think that in and of itself speaks volumes.
Well, it does. And another hate crime that is in the media at the moment is just somebody using the OK sign, the OK hand sign in a picture. So that gives you the sort of level of what these hate crimes are. And obviously, the majority of them seem to be hoaxes because they're the ones that stick in your mind. Anyway, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're tuned in to Radio Alpha.